Deep inside, each one of us has a longing for a better home. Many years ago, I think it's KTSF, they had a TV documentary about Chinese people leaving their country, traveling to the farthest corners of the earth in search for a better home. That's why you see Chinese restaurants pop up here and there, right? Everywhere you go, you're going to find a little Chinese restaurant. We are constantly looking for a better place, a more peaceful city, a more prosperous country where we can settle down and call it home. That's why many of us came here to America from all over the world to pursue this American's dream, the land of the free, a land full of opportunities and full of gold. Do you know that San Francisco nickname is the Old Golden Mountain, right? Gaogamsan, right? The last 20 years or so, we have witnessed one of the greatest movement and migration of people. People that have been displaced by wars, by famines, by genocide. They are also searching for a better home. However, can we truly find a perfect home on earth? The Bible tells us that this longing for a better home is actually created by God. Ecclesiastes chapter 3:11 said, "He has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the human's heart." Brother and sister, God has put eternity in your heart. And we all know that our final destination is not here on earth. Amen? I really like Hebrews chapter 11. It talks about the heroes of faith. I think they all have one thing in common. They know that they are only sojourners on this earth. And their hopes are not here on earth, but their hopes are actually up there. They are longing for a better place, a heavenly one. Hebrews 11, chapter 6. 11:16 said that instead they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Hallelujah. I really, really love this verse. Every time I read this, I feel very moved and very touched. They are longing for a city of God prepared by God. And one of these heroes is Abraham. You all know him very well. He was actually a nomad, right? He's living in the tents, moving from place to place. He also longed for a better country. Recently, there's a movie called Nomadland. How many of you have watched this movie? I saw it last week, and it talked about a woman who lost her job and also her husband. Sadly, she has to live in her car, traveling from place to place, doing odd jobs to get by. And she has met many people along the way, the similar faith, and they support one another. They gather in the desert. They support one another. They listen to prep talk, encouraging talk. And after a while, they departed and went their separate way again. In loneliness, they try to search for a better home. In the movie, there's a little girl asked this main character, "My mom told me that you are homeless." But this woman calmly replied, "I'm not homeless. I'm just houseless." She's also longing for a place she can call home. The heroes of faith long for a better country, a heavenly home, a city prepared by God. And this perfect eternal city is called the New Jerusalem. And this is the ultimate hope for us as the people of God. There are at least three Jerusalem mentioned in the Bible. The first one is the historical Jerusalem. I think during Abraham's time, the Jerusalem was called Salem. It is the city of peace. And when David became king, God promised David, said that, "I have chosen Jerusalem for my name to be there." And since then, Jerusalem has become the holy city, the city that bears the name of God, and is renowned all over the world. A few years ago, few years ago, a group of us, some of you were also there, we visited Israel together, Mark and Audrey. And we had a splendid time, right? Did we? We start out in the northern region of Galilee and gradually moved down towards Jerusalem. And before we entered the city, the tour guide took us to a high elevation. And we had a panoramic view of the entire city. And we used communion cups to drink grape juice, and we read the Psalms of Ascent, like the pilgrims going into the city. Actually, I was extremely moved. When I looked at the city, I said, wow, this is the city of God. And there was a sense of fear and awe in me. Although the city is supposed to be a city of peace, it has never lived up to its reputation. The earthly Jerusalem has been a place of violence, chaos, and hostility. Many religions, including Islam, Christian, Catholics, have laid claim to her sovereignty, calling this place their own holy land. In every major church or tourist spot that you go to, different religions like the Eastern Orthodox, the Catholic, the Christians, whatever, they will erect their own shrine. And their own practitioner would worship, bow down, put incense, even kiss the stone. And to me, that's not holy at all. For years, there were war fought over the city. There were bloodshed, violence. And as a matter of fact, when you walk around the city, you will see soldiers carrying AK-47. Try to maintain peace. Our hope is not on this earthly Jerusalem. And the second Jerusalem is the millennial Jerusalem. We all know that Christ one day will come back and establish a 1,000 years of reign on earth. And prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 40, he said that he saw in a vision that Jerusalem will be the capital city during the millennial reign on earth. And the last Jerusalem that we're going to talk today is what we're going to read today, the new Jerusalem. And it's not an earthly Jerusalem, it's a heavenly Jerusalem. Let's read Hebrew chapter 12, 22 to 23 together. 1, 2, 3. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Apostle John gave a very vivid description of New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Okay, today I want to take you up to heaven. It doesn't sound too excited. Yeah. Woohoo! Yeah? You want to go up there? Okay, not literally, not yet, okay? But you have to use your sanctified imagination. Imaginations. I told people, when you read Revelation, you need to use your imagination. You cannot just read the word. You have to use your sanctified imaginations, okay? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will open our spiritual eyes to see the splendor, the majesty of this heavenly place. Father, we thank you for you have prepared a city for us. We long to be with you in this heavenly dwelling. May this reality constantly bring us hope in time of darkness, in pain and in suffering on this earth. We long for your coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Biblical scholars actually have different views toward the New Jerusalem. Some believe that we should not take this new Jerusalem literally. It's not a literal city, they said. It should be interpreted symbolically. What it means is that this new Jerusalem actually represents the bride of Christ, the church. They base the views on the following verses. Let's read it together. Revelation 21, verses 2, 9, and 10. 1, 2, 3. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plate, come and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God. These verses link the word New Jerusalem and the bride of Christ seems to link together. And that's why the scholars are saying that actually they are the same. However, this is only my conviction, okay? If we are to interpret this symbolically, I do have two questions. Number one, where will we live when we go up to heaven? Before Jesus' ascension to the heaven, he promised his disciple, my Father's house has many rooms. Very good. If that were not so, I would tell you that I'm going there to prepare a place. Oh, you guys are very good. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and take you there to be with me. So Jesus used the word rooms, a place. I think it sounds like a place to me, right? Jesus promised to prepare rooms for you. We are not laying on the clouds, playing harps all day long, like Elder Mark, right? He will bring his guitar to the clouds. My wife actually doesn't really care about too much about the beauty of the new heaven and new earth. She said that, I only hope I have a soft bed and a good comforter in heaven. Secondly, if we are to interpret New Jerusalem symbolically, why did John go through such a detail to describe the measurement, the inside, the outside, the beauty, the radiance, the brilliance, the glory of God? He didn't have to do that. So I said this is only my conviction, okay? I believe this is a literal place. The place where God dwells. And the place where the bride of Christ will one day will be dwelling with him. This is the new heaven and the new earth. And this is our heavenly home. So how does it look like? Are you ready to go up there? Hey, give me some excitement. Are you ready? All right, the size of New Jerusalem. The city is massive. Let's read verses 16. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it is wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and as high it is long. So the scripture told me that this city is a square. It's a square-shaped city, okay? To Chinese people, a square-shaped city is the mahjong table, okay? But actually, it's not a mahjong table, okay? It's a cube. Because the length, the width, the height are the same. 12,000 stadia is about 1,400 to 1,500 miles that we are used to, okay? Just the surface area is 2 million square miles. It's a huge place. It covers over half of the size of America. And it's not flat, it's a cube, okay? So 1,400 miles times 1,400 miles times 1,400 miles. Who is good at math here? No one? No one's brave enough to tell me what is the number of that? Sam Cass, I think you're pretty good at math. Don't be humble, okay? All right. 2.7 billion cubic miles. You know how big that is? You know our Earth has atmosphere, right? Atmospheric sky, and there are different layers, okay? We live in the lowest layer, okay? And the modern airplane fly at a height of about 7 to 10 miles above the surface only. 7 to 10 miles, okay? When you're up in the air, when you look down, do you feel like you're very high up there? Do you? But we are talking about only 7 to 10 miles. And the city is 1,400 miles high. Some people even calculate if we have a floor of about 12 feet as a modern floor, okay? 1,400 miles equal to 600,000 story. It's humongous. God is preparing a room for you. Tell the one next to you. God is preparing a room for you. Come on, with excitement. He is preparing a room for you. Some of you may even get a mansion. I don't know, okay? Not only a little room, but a mansion. This is a story about a minibus driver and a pastor both died and went to heaven. Do you know what a minibus driver is? Okay, if you're from Hong Kong, you know what a minibus driver is, okay? They drive with abandonment, like reckless. So it's very dangerous when you ride in there, okay? So they both die and they went to heaven. And then they were greeted by St. Peter. And St. Peter said, oh, come. Let me show you the room that God has prepared for you. So first of all, he showed a beautiful mansion to this minibus driver. And then the pastor actually got very excited. He's happy not for this guy, but he's happy for himself. He said, wow, if this guy is getting a mansion, my house will be so unbelievable. Okay. So afterward, Peter also showed this pastor a little dinky house, like a little hut. And then the pastor was complaining, are you sure, Peter, this is my house? He said, yeah. Do you know that I'm a pastor? I serve God all my life? Yeah. However, every time when you preach, everyone falls asleep. This guy, this driver, every time when he drives the minibus, everyone prays so earnestly for their lives. That's why his reward is much greater than yours. This is a joke, okay? All right. It's not true, okay? Pastor, get a mention, sorry. I hope so. Who knows, right? Let's go up there. We see the exterior of the New Jerusalem. First of all, it has a city wall. 17 verses 17, 18 said, the angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. 144 cubit thick. It's about 65 meters thick. That's the city wall. It gives us a very strong and sturdy and thick wall. Give us a sense of security and protection. And the wall was made of jasper. How many of you have seen a jasper? I'll show you a picture later what a jasper looked like. The New Jerusalem wall is made of jasper. Wow. Secondly, the foundation. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The names of the 12 apostles of Jesus, that means the 12 disciples of Jesus, it represents the New Testament church. People that are redeemed by the blood of Christ, including you and me. Hallelujah. Moreover, the 12 foundations of the city are made of precious jewels and stones. Modern-day architecture, the foundation is buried underground, right? We dig a deep hole, we put the steel, concrete to make our foundation. But the city of New Jerusalem is exposed. We see the 12 layers of precious jewels. Actually, when I came to this passage, I really scratching my head because I don't own any of them. I have never heard of them. I don't even know how to pronounce them. I have no idea what they look like. So thank you for the internet, okay? I'm giving you some pictures so that to give you some idea to visualize how beautiful that is. Number one, it is, the first layer is jasper. It's green in color, clear, almost transparent. The second layer is sapphire. Blue gemstone. Wow. Good, I like that. In Exodus 24, when the people saw the God of Israel, the Bible described under his feet was something like a pavement made of lapis lazuli. That means the deep, bright blue of the sky. The third layer is called chalcedony. Chalcedony is a precious stone, primarily having a blue, grayish color. Number four is emerald. Emerald is a green gem, okay? When John tried to describe God in Revelation 4, verse 3, he said, "The one who sat on the throne had the appearance of jasper and ruby, and the rainbow that shined like the emerald encircled the throne." 2 weeks ago, I spent a few days at Lake Tahoe. You know, of course, I visit the Emerald Bay. How many of you have been to Emerald Bay? It's really pretty, right? The water is so clear. Under the sunlight, it reflects the green, the dark green, the light green, the turquoise. And with the blue sky, white cloud, and the trees line up on both sides. This is really, really beautiful place. The fifth layer is Sardonyx. Sardonyx is a combination of onyx and sar, kind of like an alternating layer of gemstone. The sixth layer is sardius. Sardis is like a brownish red mineral gemstone. The seventh layer is called the chrysolite. Chrysolite is a precious stone of golden color. This is kind of rare. The eighth layer is called beryl. Beryl is kind of like the pale green precious stone. The ninth layer is topaz. This is red in color gemstone. The tenth layer is called the chrysoprase. This is gold and green color. It's kind of like the J channel TV. And the 11th is jacinth. This is dark blue, kind of like purplish color. And the last layer is called the amethyst. Deep purple color. Yeah, give me a big hand. I have to pronounce all these names. I'm sweating, okay. How many of you have all this precious stone at home? Right, I'm sure some of you, okay? So, okay, you have one. Okay, that's good. I have zero, okay? Let's close our eyes. Use a sanctified imagination. You think about all these jewels and stones are transparent. They are clear. They are so pure. They are clear. And under the brilliance of the glory of God, imagine God, the brilliance of God, shine through these layers upon layers of different color and reflection of these multiple colors. It's like a symphony of colors. Shining, bright. In this very beautiful, majestic. Thank you for your cooperation. You can open your eyes. Okay, I hope you see a glimpse of it, okay? The city is a square, okay? Each side has three gates. There are 12 angels guarding each gate. On the gates written the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel represent the nation of Israel, right? That means in the future, the Israelite will be an important part of the New Jerusalem. Although many Jewish people do not believe that Christ is the Messiah and reject him today, however, God has never forsaken his chosen people. Romans 11 said that all Israel will be saved, for God's gift and his cause are irrevocable. And one thing is more astonishing is every gate is one single pearl. Have you seen such a big pearl in your life? Think about just a door like this, okay? But then it's one single pearl. It must be from a very big oyster, right? Heaven is entered through the pearl. What is the significance? We all know that pearl is made when an outside irritant went into a mussel or clam or oyster. And this little animal, as a defense mechanism, would secrete some kind of fruit to coat the irritant, layers upon layers upon layers, and then a pearl is formed. Symbolically, I think pearl represents the one who was wounded for us. It was through his wound that He created the pearl that we usher in, usher us into His holy presence. Heaven is entered through suffering, travail, by blood, by the agony of the cross, by the one who was wounded for us. Amazing thought. All right, let's do a brief summary, okay? The New Jerusalem is a square cube city, and there are many 12 gates, 12 pearls, 12 angels, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 foundations, 12 disciples of Jesus. 12 is equal to 3 times 4, okay? Someone said that 3 actually represent God, right? The Trinity of God. 4 is the Creator, that means man. 3 times 4 is a union of God and man. Wow. It's a complete number. We all know that in the Old Testament, God met with man in the holiest of holies, right? Remember? So in Moses' tabernacle, the Holy of Holies is a cube, but it's much smaller. It's like 5 meters times 5 meters times 5 meters. In Solomon's temple, the Holy of Holies is also a cube, but it's a little bigger. It's 10 meters times 10 meters times 10 meters. One day in the New Jerusalem, we will be meeting with God. Complete union with God is also a cube. This humongous city, the New Jerusalem. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. I need to do very quick. I will show you the inside of New Jerusalem. Number one, there's no temple. Verses 22 said, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are His temple. John did not see a temple in the New Jerusalem. Temple is very important for the Jewish people, right? Because it's a place of worship. However, in the New Jerusalem, there will be no temple. Why? Because God Himself will be the New Jerusalem temple. We don't need the actual temple to house God and veil His glory from this sinful mankind, because the redeemed people can see Him face to face. Brothers and sisters, do you long to see God face to face? Maybe we all need to bring my sunglasses, right? Secondly, there will be a throne. Verses 3 said, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servant will serve Him. There's only one throne in heaven, as described in Revelation chapter 4. It's in the center of the city, and all people can see from all corners of the city. All people will bow down and worship God, who is sitting on the throne. Thirdly, the city is filled with God's glory. Verses 23 and 24. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives light, and the Lamb is its lamp. God's glory is so brilliant. It's like blazing light. All kind of people will be there, including the kings of the world, the noble people, the mighty people. They will all give up their glory. Their glory will dissipate into nothingness when compared with God's glory. Fourthly, there will be a street of gold. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. Modern day roads are made of layers of gravel and small rocks and asphalt, right? But the city of Jerusalem, the street is made of gold. How many of you love gold? Come on, be honest. We love everything gold, right? Gold coins, gold bar, gold necklace, golden nuggets, gold rings, gold medals, everything gold, right? Asians like to hide gold under the mattress too, right? Do you hide gold under your mattress? No, you don't? All right. Another joke, okay? A man died and he went to heaven, okay? And he was carrying a very heavy luggage. So heavy, he was bended. At the heaven gate, he was greeted by St. Peter. Again, I don't know why every heaven joke has to do with St. Peter. Maybe he's nosy, okay? So what are you carrying on your back? St. Peter asked. This man proudly said, these are gold.
This is my lifetime savings. This is the fruit of many years of my labor, my sweat, my blood.
And St. Peter calmly said,
why bother, my friend?
Here in heaven, gold is only used to pave the street. I remember a song long time ago by Vineyard called We Will Dance. Remember that song? If you remember, you're pretty old, okay?
We will dance on the streets that are golden, the glorious pride and the grace of man. From every tongue and tribe and nation, we'll join in the song of the Lamb.
Remember that? You're pretty old, okay? Every tongue, every tribe, every nation will be dancing on the street of golden and singing the songs of the Lamb. Picture that. Brother, sister, are you longing to sing and dance on the street that are golden? In the city, there will be a river of life flowing from the throne of God. The river of life is clear as crystal. Everything the river flows, there's life. Psalm 36, 8, 9 said that they feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delight, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we will see light. Lastly, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. When I first read this tree of life, I was thinking, the tree of life will bear 12 different kinds of fruit, like mangoes and papayas and durians, you know. No, sorry, durian lover. There won't be any durian up there. 12 rounds of fruit. Every month will bear fruit. Everyone will be able to eat from the tree and be satisfied. We all know the tree of life first appeared in the Eden, Garden of Eden. And then in the New Jerusalem, this tree will appear again. And God said that to those who are victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I think my time is up. I'll close with a story. Little girl was born with an eye illness, and she was not able to see clearly. Her perception of the world was through her mom's verbal description of everything. The flower looks like this, the colors, the autumn leaves are like this, the sunset is like this, the blue sky, the white cloud is like this, the mighty ocean looked like this, the snowfall looked like this. So she perceived the world through her mom's verbal description. Years later, she was able to receive surgery to correct her eye problem, and she was able to see again. So after they removed her glass, she immediately went to the window and took a good look of the world. And she was so excited, she told her mom, why don't you tell me the world is so beautiful? Her mom replied, my dear, I have already tried my best. Words sometimes cannot fully describe the beauty of the world. Brother and sister, one day we will bump into John. And then we will ask him, John, why don't you tell me how beautiful this new Jerusalem is? John probably replied and said, bro, I've tried my best. Words simply cannot do the justice. In the new Jerusalem, we will be surprised. I'm telling you now, you will be surprised. The splendor, the majesty, the colors, the brilliance, the glory, the beauty, the purity of this new heaven and new earth, the new Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 said, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. I'm going to ask you today, do you love God? Do you? Do you long to see His face? Good answer. Do you long for this heavenly city God has prepared for you? One day we will see Him face to face. One day we will ask John these questions. One day we will be dwelling in this heavenly city prepared by God. May the Word of God bring us encouragement today. May the Word of God bring us hope and compel us to live for Him now. Let us not set our eyes on things that are temporal and will be destroyed. Rather, let us set our eyes on this heavenly city that God has prepared for us. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing this last song.
Every tear will be wiped.
Each day following you, Jesus, because you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This concludes our service today. Thank you for joining us. Have a blessed week, everyone.